You've made it. This is the last session in this short course on church planting. Now, in this session, I want to talk about mistakes to avoid. Now, many of these things that are listed come from a Wesleyan church pastor, church planter named Carolyn Moore. Others are on the list are things that I've heard from church planters, as you know, I've been part of churches that were eager to be mother churches. And so it's just mistakes to avoid. If you're thinking about planting a church or being on a launch team or becoming part of a new church endeavor, these are things to be aware of. Let's dig in. This is from Carolyn Moore. She says, as she looks back at planting churches, and she's planted a couple of them, one of her great regrets, one of the biggest mistakes she made, is not enough time in prayer. And I put this picture there. This is not a picture of Carolyn, but it's a picture of somebody who's too busy, right? There are just too many things. There's all these things to juggle. The inbox is loaded, and there's just not enough in the outbox. The clock is past 5 o'clock. It's past quitting time, and you're too busy. Now, one of the things I know from dealing with church planters is that life gets busy. Once you have become public, I mean, there's a busyness initially, right? When you're meeting with a launch team, when you are developing materials, if you're going to go public, that you're developing advertising materials, there is a busyness about all of that. And so, you know, time can be short. And then, you know, you've got the time that you want to spend out in the community. So you're going door to door and you're doing that sort of thing. It's busy. But then when you launch, the busyness gets compounded 100-fold because now you've got people that you're dealing with, often people with needs who are coming, and they want, you know, they want counseling, they want wisdom, they have a physical or emotional needs, and they're looking to you or to the church planters to meet those needs. And then there's the raising of money and, you know, sharing the vision with various people, and it's busy, 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 busy. And you can get so busy that you neglect the important parts of life. Now, this is true for church planters. It's true for church leaders. It's true for anybody. And, you know, I've been there. When I told you about exploring prayer, I'd gotten to a point in my life where I wasn't doing much prayer at all, you know, because I found that if I don't do prayer first thing in the morning, it doesn't get done. And so if I don't spend time in reading the Word and reflecting on something and then spending time in praying in intercessory list as well as my own list of praying for myself, I played basketball three mornings a week early. So the idea is we'd meet at 6:30 and we'd play till 7:30, go home, shower, and I kind of quick get to the office. So those days, no devotions. You know, on Sunday I'd be busy getting ready for Sunday morning, etc. And prayer can quickly go by the wayside, and that's a big, big, big mistake. And so that's one that Carolyn says as she looks back, this was a mistake that she made. Don't make this mistake. Carve out the time. I was reading about a book the other day by Mark Batterson, who's pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. And he talked about visiting a church in Ethiopia. And that's one of the church plants of a National Community Church. So he flies into Ethiopia, and the churches there that they planted are just flourishing. And he began to look at, boy, why? What's the secret here? And he found that the leaders of those churches spent 4 days at work. If they have offices, 4 days in the office. One day they go somewhere or they stay home, and that one day in five is dedicated to prayer. And he said, I've got to learn from that. And he himself was a church planter of National Community Church. Neglecting Sabbath and family. It's easy to start working 7 days a week. It's easy to be so busy that your family is ignored. And this is a listing from church planters, right? People who have been there know that this is a danger. And so begin to plan now to plan your Sabbath times. If you are not keeping a regular Sabbath time, you're disobeying God. If you are not investing in your family, caring for your children if you have them, you're failing God's plan for your life. And so, yep, it can get busy, but there have got to be times. Now, I found it very helpful, you know, because there's always people wanting your attention and making demands on your time. I found it very helpful to say to people, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that, or I can't be there, or I can't meet with you because I've got an appointment at that time. And that appointment sometimes is going out and having ice cream with my kids after school. Or my appointment may have been just spending time with God. Or my appointment may be a date night with my wife. Make sure that you don't ignore Sabbath or your family. Relying on your own gifts and skills. It takes more than what you have. You know, I shared with you that God crippled me in some ways by giving me the gift of leadership without administration. But it meant I've got to lean on others. You are always going to have to lean on others. And so give responsibility to people. Give great responsibility to people on the launch team. They are called to that. Don't rely on yourself scrambling and being the only one responsible for the success of this church planting endeavor that you're part of. Another one was overestimating people. And you'll see the bottom line, filling spots versus developing leaders. There's a real temptation when you're doing a church plant to get warm bodies in positions, right? One of the places that we planted eventually in my denomination planted five churches in the Las Vegas area. My friend flew me there in a plane, and we went to Henderson, Nevada. We knew from some demographic studies that that was one of the fastest growing area in the United States at that time. And we did the whole thing of Chamber of Commerce, City Hall, driving around neighborhoods, talking to people on the street, et cetera. We did all of that stuff, and then I decided that we planted, three Korean and one multi-ethnic, one Anglo congregation in the Las Vegas area. But one of the churches didn't make it. And one of the reasons they didn't make it, I think, is that they were, growing quite quickly. It was a parachute drop where we took a church planter and we sent them to Las Vegas and says, go plant a church. Gave them some financial resources for a period of time and said, go to it. And they did. And began developing a launch team and then leadership for that church. But because the work was getting great, they began gathering some people who didn't meet the target group. The picture I put up there is this of all these darts, but it's missing the target. They were putting up people who were involved in leadership there. But they themselves didn't go to church. If you asked them about their relationship with Jesus Christ, they could not articulate that at all. And these kind of people were coming into the leadership. And so, it was an overestimation of the position that they were going to play in the church. The church is going to look like the people that you have as part of your launch team and those who are in leadership. And that leads to a close mistake that's made and not paying attention to the DNA. Now, it's a picture of our DNA, or model of our DNA as human beings. That we are made up of all these very, very complex DNA molecules, but we live out our DNA, right? In my DNA, there's baldness, and so I become bald. There's problems with eyesight, so I have to wear glasses. There are certain physical characteristics. There are certain abilities I have. Music that I've been engaged in most of my life comes because it's part of my DNA through my mother's side of the family. A love to solve problems comes from my father's side. We are part of the genetics of who we get. Well, in many ways, writers and students and scholars are now looking at churches and saying, churches tend to reflect a DNA. The kind of people who start the church seem to be the kind of people that are attracted to that church over a long period of time. I had the privilege of working with one church as a consultant, and I loved doing that, but one of the things that we discovered is we're trying to identify the DNA is that it was a very generous church. They gave to all kinds of organizations. They gave generously to their staff. They paid their staff well, etc. But there was another little twist to the DNA, and that was it tended to be a critical church. And so pastors didn't tend to stay long. You know, they started, church planter is there for a while and then gone. And when you look back over their history, there was just one short tenure after another, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and the pastor's gone. I just say that now, you know, it's just an example to say DNA is very important. And the people who are part of your launch team, the people who are part of the ones you start putting into leadership as that church begins to go and grow, are going to impact the long-range future of your church. So pay attention to the DNA. Another mistake that's made is impatience, is what it's called. And this is, patience is the strength of the weak. Impatience is the weakness of the strong. Impatience, you're going to want stuff to happen yesterday. And it takes time. Starting a church takes time. And you may want your church to set a goal for 200 by such and such a date. It may not make it. 500 by such. You've got to be patient. Patient with people, and patient with yourself, and patient with the process. I like this statement here. Most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. It's a statement by Bill Gates. But the point is to take the long view as you think about church planting. Sacrifice long-term vision for short-term gains. This is one by Carolyn Moore again. You know, the long term is I want to build a church that's going to survive for ages. But short term, I may do things because I want to get a crowd together. In other words, you can go to public worship too soon because you want to get a crowd together. For a while in my history, one person developed a scheme of planting a church, saying, you know, it's easy that a church breaking the 200 barrier, if you want to learn about that, you can learn, take my church and take my class on leadership. But breaking the 200 barrier is hard, so somebody developed a way to do that from day one. And that is they recognize that there's a return on a telephone kind of campaign, right? So if you made 20,000 calls, you could likely, most likely, have about 200 people in your first worship service. And so you've already broken the 200 barrier. Well, the idea is you get 200 people in that group. You don't have a church. What you have is a group of people. And it's going to take a long time to develop that group of people into a church. That's the idea of starting out with a short-term desire to have a crowd, but sacrificing the long-term goal of having a church. Don't do it. Another one that church leaders, church planters have identified is being too hard on yourself. Lighten up and stop being hard on yourself is the poster that I found online. Yeah, you may need to have some really good coaches during this time, mentors, people who are going to listen to you. For me in ministry, you know, a few different times I've engaged a professional counselor because you're going to be challenged to look at yourself too critically. And so lighten up. Don't be too hard on yourself. And then finally, they say this is a mistake made, underestimating the spiritual nature of church planting. In other words, it's not a head count. It's who the people are. It's what God is doing. You know, when I retired, one of the joys of my retirement was getting some emails from people who had been a part of that initial church. It was a little church plant in Plainwall, Michigan. Like I say, I was like the third pastor there, but it was still basically a church plant. And email from somebody there, a connection with somebody there said, you know what, thank you for being part of that church. One woman was writing her testimony as she was joining a church and said, I could feel compelled to send you an email. You were a pastor and your church sent a bus around to pick up people in my trailer park and you picked us up and you taught us about Jesus. I came to know Jesus in your church. Thank you. Another woman said, you know, she came there with a chip on her shoulder to church because she was forced by her in-laws to come. She was living with her in-laws early in the marriage, and their practice was, the rule was, if you live in our house, you come to church. She says, but I was in your church, and I came to know Christ. It's not a head count. It's a story about what God is doing. So I hope this class has been helpful to you as you contemplate the idea about church planting, whether you're thinking about doing it yourself or becoming part of a launch team. God bless you. God wants more churches. They're the most effective way of reaching people for Him. Be part of it. God bless you.